We're going to go to Genesis 19. What? Don't worry. I won't preach the same message. I won't teach the same message. Now, for those of you who have faithfully been attending our Sunday school, we just went over Genesis 19 last Sunday. And the message that I want to bring tonight is very relevant for us, in particular, to the fathers in the congregation. I entitled this message, The Characteristics of a Failed Fatherhood. The Characteristics of a Failed Fatherhood. I want to begin by reading Genesis 19, verse 1, and Lord willing, we'll read until verse 26 tonight. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him, and entered into the house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him. Let me just say this. You know, the Bible is so refined. The Bible is so respectful of sexual matters. Because what verse 5 means is not so that they can be hospitable to those men, but they actually wanted to do something very perverse to them. When the Bible says that we may know them, it is not so that they can show hospitality, but so that they can be sexually perverse with them. But the Bible is so refined, the Holy Spirit chooses to use these words because that is something to be respected, and that is something to be sacred. And Lot went out, verse number 6, at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And so Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee. This is the angel saying to him concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Little, or in Hebrew, Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That is the word of the Lord. Let's go to him in prayer, asking him to bless our time together in his word tonight. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we think of Pastor Coleman as he's preaching down in Monrovia. I pray, Father, that you would anoint him, give him boldness to proclaim the unadulterated gospel of Christ there, the truth of your word. I pray, Father, that you would use him as a clean vessel and to the blessings of the students there as well as the congregation there, Father. I pray, protect him as he and his family come back tonight. Give him safety on the road. Father, you know my feelings of inadequacy and feelings of ill-equipment. Because fatherhood is such a significant, important topic tonight, Lord, and I, as a father of 10 years old, I pray that I would be able to detect the bad characteristics of a failed fatherhood and avoid them, stay away from them. And if I have any germinating in me, that I would repent of it and forsake it and do the biblical alternatives of those characteristics. Tonight I pray, Father, that you would come to us, Lord, and meet with us. Holy Spirit, please breathe on us with fresh words of your word, truths, insights, Lord, that we might have neglected in the past, and now, Lord, be reminded of these things for us. We love you. We thank you for your word. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Lot, as a father, was a big failure. In Genesis 19 is only a glimpse for us fathers to avoid becoming like him. Now, mothers can also learn from this. How? By being able to detect the characteristics of a failing father and to come alongside their husbands and prayerfully and respectfully show them their wrongheadedness and wrongdoing. Now, young men who will become fathers or have any aspirations to become fathers one day can also learn from this passage. And how is that? Well, by becoming aware of the characteristics of a father who failed big time and avoid those characteristics from germinating in their own young lives. Young women, girls, can also learn from Lot. How? By becoming aware of the characteristics of a man who will fail in fatherhood and avoiding that man or avoiding that young man they want to marry someday if they refuse to repent and change from those characteristics. What are the characteristics of a failed fatherhood? Number one, hypocritical in responsibility. Hypocrisy in their responsibility. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is a feigning to be what one is not. It is the assuming of a false appearance or virtue or religion. It is a deceitful show of a good character. It is like a leaven, which is small, a leaven, like a substance or an element that causes the bread to grow, a yeast. It's a small thing, but its effect is what? Big. Its effect is big. In Luke 12:1, Jesus gives this warning. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. We see this in the life of Lot. Well, how do you see that, Pastor Torres? Well, in Genesis 19:1, we see that he is honored in society. We see that he is at the gate. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, which means he held an honored seat, most likely a judicial seat or a magisterial seat. He was honored and respected in society, but in no means honorable by godly standards as an honored father. Another way to say this is this. He was good at his job. He was good at his job. He was an excellent worker. He was one who believed and lived out the verse, he who doesn't work doesn't eat. He passed that. But was he honored in his own home? Did he live up to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. An objection from a father like this, with characteristic like this of Lot, would be sounding like this. Well, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for quality time with my children. I gotta work. I gotta work. I gotta work. And I'm doing this for my children. I want them to have the things I didn't have growing up. Does that sound familiar? Have you heard of that kind of an objection from a characteristic of a father who is going to fail big time? I don't have time to bring my children to church. I don't have time to do family worship night. I'm just so busy. I've got to prepare for work. You see, I didn't have much growing up, and I want to be able to provide for my children these things I didn't have growing up. And I think the biblical rebuttal to that kind of objection will sound something like this. Hey, Dad, did you ever think that maybe the things you didn't have growing up were the very things that could have corrupted you growing up, and that's why you didn't have them? Hey, Dad, did you ever consider that maybe the things you're trying to get for your children today are the very things that will influence them for the bad in the future? Maybe then, you're just using that objection as your excuse to get out of your responsibility to spend godly and quality time with your children. Did you ever think that? I want us to look at Psalm 127 because there is a crucial doctrine here that we should hold dearly in our hearts and apply faithfully in our lives and in how we deal with our families and how we deal with our children so that we won't have this characteristic of hypocrisy in our responsibility. Psalm 127 says this, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Do we understand that? That we cannot build both literal houses and our families without the help of God. Without the strength that God gives us. Without the wisdom that God would give us. In building both the literal physical house and our home. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And hear this, Father, look at verse number 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. And then, I mean, what is the connection between that and verse number 3? What is the connection between verse 1 and verse number 2? Verse number 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Here is the connection between verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3. In verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early. And that is in the context of working. You rise up early so that you can go to work and you sit up late. You come home late because of work so that, I mean, you're working so hard for food that eventually will be a food for sorrow. Why? Because people die. It is a bread of sorrows. You work so hard for your food, and then it says, "Therefore, so he giveth his beloved sleep." It means, yes, God can provide for those whom he loves even when they sleep. That's why you don't have to wake up really early to go to work and stay really late from work. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There is a virtue of hard work. There is a virtue of doing with all of your might with both of your hands. But when you idolize that, and when you lift that up, and it is prominent and prevalent in your life to the neglect of your responsibilities of your children, then you are wrong. You are wrong. And the Bible says so. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, so that you can have the things that you want your children to have. Rest in the Lord. He giveth His beloved sleep. And God can provide you the things that you need even when you rest in Him. And even when you sleep in Him. And that's why it says, verse number 3, lo, children are more important. That's the connection here. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. We saw that Lot was hypocritical in his responsibilities. We also see here not only that he was honorable in the gates, he was hospitable to strangers. Hospitality, again, is one great virtue. He was hospitable to strangers. We see that in verses 2 and 3 of the text that we read in Genesis 19. Behold now, my lords, turn in. And the biggest part of that pressing them is he knew what was going on in the city square. He knew that as soon as the lights come on, as soon as the sun has set, immediately that the city square would be lit up with all kinds of bad things and wicked things. And so he pressed on them to come into his house. Now there was a tradition in those parts of the world, and there is that tradition in many parts of the world, where they held their guests who lodged with them as sacred and inviolable, and if necessary, defend them with their life. He was hospitable to strangers. But was he hospitable to his own family? In effect, as you saw the progression of the narrative here, as you saw the story come out to be, in effect, he was hostile to his own family. He offered his own flesh and blood to a ravenous pack of wolves outside his door. One theologian says this, he commits sin seeking to prevent sin through sin. Another remarks, his duty as a father should have been held more sacred. But he didn't. That's why he was hypocritical in his responsibility. We saw that he was honorable in the gates of Sodom. He was hospitable to strangers. He also was hysterical to his sons-in-law. In verse 14, we see that the angels was telling him, go, do you have anybody else here? Your sons-in-law, daughters who have married. And he goes out and spoke to them, to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. What is he doing here? He's prophesying. He's preaching judgment. He's preaching repentance and judgment and escape for their souls. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He was hysterical to his sons-in-law. This is one characteristic that we should avoid as fathers, and that is hypocritical in his responsibilities. What is the alternative to hypocrisy? Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. First Peter expounded on this doctrine in 1 Peter 1:13. It says this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you with the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Lord Jesus Christ says it this way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I go back to Psalm 127 and make these points to you tonight. Having a family line provided security in ancient Israel. Having a community security was also essential. And that's why the psalmist said, it is vain for you to rise early, come home late, and work so hard for your food. Yes, he can provide, God can provide for those whom he loves, even when they sleep. And the emphasis here that is given to us from Psalm 127 is our relationship with God. Our relationship with God. And he says to us, look, pay attention. Food is important, but your sons and your daughters are eternally more important. So give them quality time of your day. And this is a corollary of your holiness unto the Lord. This is an axiomatic truth that you get, that when you're holy unto the Lord, you will be godly in your home. You will have godly quality time with your children. The second characteristic of a failed fatherhood is this: hazardous in decision making. Not only was Lot hypocritical in his responsibility as a father, as a worker, he was hazardous in his decision making. How was Lot hazardous? How was he hazardous? Well, he put his family in a lot of danger. How? He put his children in deep hazard when they moved, or when he moved into Sodom. Genesis 13:10 gives us a clue of how hazardous that was. And for him to decide to move into the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was a hazardous decision making that he did. Genesis 13, beginning in verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. It was like paradise. Like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar, then Lot hazardously decided. He chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. That is from Abram. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And here it is. Here is the reason why I say that it was a hazardous move that he did. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. And if it doesn't make sense to you, he says to them, exceedingly wicked and sinners. That should have been an indication for him not to move into. But he was hazardous in his decision making. He made the move. And he put his children in deep hazard when he did. Back to Genesis 19. How was Lot hazardous? Hanging out with Sodomites is hazardous. But you know, he had been hanging out with them a long time before this event. I mean, he went out the door into them. Verses 4 through 9, you see that? By hanging with Sodomites, his morality became tainted. He is harassed in his morality. His soul was vexed daily by Sodom and Gomorrah. He was irritated by the immorality that was always going on. His soul was tormented by the debauchery that went on in Sodom. And yet, he hung out with them. He would not separate from among them. He might have thought and sought that he could keep contact with them without getting contaminated by them. But he was not only contaminated by them, he was starting to think like them by the way he called them brothers, my brethren. How long had Lot lived in the land? How long had Lot lived in the land? Long enough for him to become a leader in the cities. Long enough for him to be voted in as judge of the land. By hanging with Sodomites, his mentality became tainted. The mind that is continually barraged by wickedness can only take so much. Nowhere is it mentioned that Lot and his family ever had regular worship service. Never is it mentioned that they built an altar unto the Lord like Abraham did. Nowhere is it mentioned that he prayed and asked God for guidance, what needed to be said and what needed to be done prior to this going out of the door. What is the alternative of being hazardous in your decision making? Prudence. Prudence in decision making. What is prudence? Well, prudence is the practice of the ability to see what's going to happen in the future if one does this or does that today, and then having the fortitude to say no when the consequences that you see in the future would be detrimental to your spiritual welfare or to your family's spiritual welfare. That is prudence. The Bible says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge. What does that mean? That means that he discerns knowledge when it is appropriate to apply or when it is not appropriate to do. But the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Proverbs 12:23. Another proverb we see is Proverbs 13:16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. What does that mean? It means that the prudent man, the shrewd person, knows the circumstances, knows the consequences, knows the dangers, knows the pitfalls that lie ahead. And so he deals with them wisely. And this makes him cautious. That's why he's called prudent. And he deals with knowledge. But a fool layeth open his folly. That means he will display his foolishness by the decisions he makes. Lot displayed his foolishness, his hazardous of a father, by making that decision to move into Sodom. Thirdly, we see this in the life of a failed fatherhood. Hagler for a compromise. He was not only hypocritical in his responsibility. He was not only hanging with the Sodomites. He was a haggler for a compromise. What do I mean by that? Haggling. He was haggling the strangers. He was haggling the angels. Verse number 18, look at with me. Verse number 18, and Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. The angels told him, escape to the mountain. That's your only chance. You have to go up because this valley is going to be burnt up with fire and brimstone. Lot says, oh, no. Not so, my Lord. He was haggling them. And he says to them, you see that little city over there? Please don't burn that because I'm going to go to that. Would you please spare that little city right outside of Sodom and Gomorrah? It's called Little. It's called Zoar. Would you please spare that? I don't know for what reason. Maybe he had the physical disability now to be not able to run that fast up to the mountain or whatever his reasoning was, but he was haggling them for a compromise. He argued as to the terms of the angels. A haggling for a compromise. The angels were about to completely and utterly destroy the twin cities, but Lot wanted to go to the edge of it. He wanted to go to, not to the mountain that they pointed him to, but to the edge of the cities. For what? Perhaps there would be some left behind of the city. And so that then he could go back and rebuild from. I don't know. I don't know what his reasoning was. But we see in this passage that the angels relented. And this was yet another manifestation of God's mercy given again to Lot. Are you haggling for a compromise? What is the alternative? What is the alternative to haggling? Complete and immediate submission to Christ. Complete and immediate submission to Christ. I can't help but think of the very first apostles who were called by Christ. What did Christ tell them? Andrew, Peter, come follow me. And what did they do? They left their nets and followed him straight away. Straight away, immediately, completely, and immediately. Matthew 4, we see that passage. Jesus liked that very much. But Jesus, in Luke 9, Jesus didn't like it very much when those he had summoned to come and follow him had haggling tendencies. They had excuses for following Christ. Luke 9:57 says this, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me, permit me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, meaning let the spiritually dead bury their physically dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But here's the haggling tendency, excuses that are given. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't like it very much when those he has summoned to come and follow him had excuses. Fathers, don't haggle for a compromise. submit completely and immediately, that is how you and I can be winners as fathers. Fourthly, and lastly tonight, not only that Lot was hazardous in his decision making, not only that he was hypocritical in his responsibilities, not only that he was a haggler for a compromise, he was horrendous in his witness for Jehovah. He was horrendous in his witness. Horrendous in being salt and light. Look at with me again in our text, Genesis 19, 23 to 26. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. His wife became a pillar of salt. Do you remember what Jesus said in the New Testament? He said, remember Lot's wife. What is the context of what he said in that day, in that manner? The context is losing your life for the gaining of eternal life. Why did Jesus say that? Because Lot's wife lost her life. She was lost forever. And may I say this, Lot's horrendous testimony as a Jehovah believer cost the life and eternity of his wife. His horrendous testimony of a Jehovah believer probably cost the immorality of his own daughters. And for all that we know, they never came to believe in their father's Lord. They avoided the brimstone and fire rain in Sodom, but never escaped the fire and brimstone in the lake of fire, because their father displayed a horrendous Christian testimony. In 2 Peter, we read that Lot was just and that he was righteous. And there's no mention of his wife. There's no mention of his daughters. There's no mention of anybody else but himself. And that was because he had a horrendous witness for Jehovah. What is the alternative to being horrible in being salt and light, fathers? It is faithfulness in speaking of the gospel. Faithfulness in speaking of the gospel. I'd like to leave you with this illustration. It's not original with me. I heard it from one of the preachers that I heard this week at a conference in Michigan this week. And I'm going to do it in this manner. Yesterday, we had an outreach. And we had several people here who went with us door knocking. And John was with us. And if you don't mind, I'm going to use you as an illustration. This is fictional, okay? So don't be embarrassed. And I told John, John, will you have time to house sit for us, or just to watch over our house when later on we would like to go on our family trip? And he said, that should be no problem. I can do that after work. I can just go over there and feed the dog and watch the house for you and turn the lights on at night or something like that. I can do that. What if we did this? I turn to my wife. I say, hey, wife, would you mind writing down all these things that we would like our house sitter to do? So number one, we would put, please make sure that there is water in the dog bowl for our dog. And then number two, please take out the trash. on Sunday nights because the trash truck come by and pick them up early Monday morning. Please water the trees in the back because we don't want them to wilt. And then very specific instructions, and we give this to our house sitter. Oh, probably one or two pages. They're in 18 font, so don't worry. And then we give them, and then I talk to the house sitter and I say, hey, we're going to be gone for these dates, and would you be able to come and do this for us? We would really certainly appreciate that. And I go with him, and I tell him line by line. He goes, oh, yeah, don't worry about that. I got that. Very good, got that. Oh, would you please water the plants because we don't want them to wilt? Oh, got that. I got that. Oh, number three here. Now, please take the trash out because we don't want, you know, a mountain of trash come when we get back from our summer trip. Oh, I got that. I got that. I got that. And so we go on our trip and we come back from our trip. We go to the gate and all the trees are wilted. We open the house. And trash everywhere. We go to the back. Our dog is emaciated. There's no water in the bowl. No food in the bowl. And I call, house sitter, would you come over and talk with me about this? Did we not give you instructions? Oh, yeah, you did. You did. And I'm very, very, very glad you did. Look, I even highlighted every point that you said. Oh, man, I made some notes of that. I made notes. Look, I even, look at the star. There's a star beside that. Hey, take the trash out. Oh, there's a star right there. There's highlighted there. Oh, different colors, too. Different colors, too. We've been given instructions to go and preach the gospel. And we highlight our Bible. We make markings on it. But how come the trash is all over the house? How come the trees are wilted? How come the dog is emaciated? What are we doing with the gospel of Christ? Fathers, what kind of a legacy you want to leave with your family? If there is an inkling of any of these characteristics that you might have or you can see growing in you, then you need to repent now. Forsake those sinful tendencies and sinful characteristics. And seek to pursue God and His righteousness. If you say tonight you can't see any of that, ask the Holy Spirit to show you and reveal to you what area you need to repent from and forsake that sin. Do business with the Lord now. Women and children, pray for your fathers. Pray for your fathers. Beg God to change them. Beg God to save them. Pray to God to show them their wicked ways, forsake their wicked ways, and to follow God. Jesus famously said this, remember Lot's wife. May I add to that? Remember Lot. Remember Lot. Remember his failed fatherhood so you can avoid failing as a father.